If you would open up with me in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31 this morning. And while you're turning there, I just want to read one passage out of 2 Corinthians. Turn to Jeremiah 31, but listen to this out of 2 Corinthians. This is 2 Corinthians 4:16. Paul says this, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." I love that idea from Paul. He says, outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. What Paul is indicating is that our outward circumstances might change. Our outward circumstances might be difficult. They might be a burden. They might be trials for each and every one of us. But inwardly, we are being renewed day by day by the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and our lives. I feel that we're all probably a bit weary here this morning, that all of us are a little bit tired of this whole thing. And even though we can come back together now, there are still certain restrictions that are placed upon us. But I hope that this mentality that Paul talks about in Corinthians can be in our hearts and our minds this morning. That we will recognize that, yes, our outward circumstances may be difficult, it may be a trial, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day by the power of the Holy Spirit. With that said, I hope you're now in Jeremiah 31. Follow along with me in your Bibles, Jeremiah 31, verses 23 to 25. Listen to this. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt." I'm sorry, I am in 35. Let me move back. Here we go. You guys were probably confused. No, I'm confused. Jeremiah 31, 23 to 25. "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. When I bring them back from captivity, the people in the land of Judah and in its towns will once again use these words. The Lord bless you, you prosperous city, you sacred mountain. People will live together in Judah and all of its towns, farmers and those who move about with their flocks. I will refresh the weary and I will satisfy the faint." Let's pray. You, our Lord and our God, are holy. Magnify your great name here this morning. Illumine our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit that we might hear by faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So the context for Jeremiah 31 is that of exile. That's something I've been indicating previously. Judah had been exiled, and it was talking about the fact that exile was coming, but God said exile wasn't the end. It wasn't going to stop there. God had prophesied exile, yes. He had said exile is going to happen, and this is something that you deserve for what you have done. But he didn't leave them hanging. He didn't leave them on the hook. He actually told them, but I am going to renew you and I'm going to bring you back out of exile. And this is what it's going to look like. And he describes what this returning from exile would be in verses 23 to 25. That's what he is explaining. And again, like I indicated earlier, quarantine is not unlike exile. Again, we feel like we have been exiled. We feel like we've been scattered. We've been holed up in our homes. And we are probably weary and tired of having to deal with all of this. And so our return to church this morning is not unlike Israel's return, Judah's return to home after they had been exiled amongst the nations. We are actually in a very similar salvation historical context as Judah was at this time. And so as I was going through this text, I thought this text would be perfect for us to talk about on our first Sunday back, the first Sunday that we could meet together in person. I actually prepared this sermon a couple of weeks ago when I preached on the topic of rest. This was the first text I had selected, and I thought, man, this is going to be great on the topic of rest. Why? It says, "I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint." But as I was going through it more and more, I realized that this content is much more in line with this idea of returning from exile. And I thought, we've got to move it. We've got to move this message. We've got to move this passage to the first Sunday back, the first Sunday that we are returning together. Those similarities between us and Judah, between quarantine and exile, these similarities are the basis for this sermon and this message. This sermon and this message is on a text where Judah returns from exile, and so too I've entitled the sermon, Return from Quarantine. Return from Quarantine. And so this is what I want us to look at today. Today God wants us to know that because we are returning from exile, we should look forward to the work and worship that God has for us. Because we are returning from exile, our own exile, we should look forward to the work and worship that God has for us. I have three primary points that I would like to develop. First, in verse 24, we will see the idea of returning to work, getting back after it. I think all of us are probably excited to do that. And we're going to see that in verse 24. But we're not simply returning to work, we're also returning to worship. And that is to be found in verse 23. Finally, we will end with verse 25, the refreshment that is received. So, return to work, return to worship, and a refreshment received. So that is the path that we are on today. Because we are returning from exile, we should look forward to the work and worship that God has for us. First, return from work. Look with me at verse 24. In verse 24, it says this, "People will live together in Judah and all of its towns." And look at this. "Farmers and those who move about with their flocks." You have a picture, you have an image that is being painted for us here in Jeremiah. Here we have this image or this picture of a once desolate place. Nobody is typically in these areas throughout the exile. People aren't hanging out here, they're not spending time here, they're not doing anything. You should have that stereotypical tumbleweed getting blown across the ghost town in the city streets. That is what is happening here in Jeremiah 31. And this is how Judah was. This is how the place was. It was desolate. And yet now this once desolate place begins to teem with life. People will live together in Judah and all of its towns, farmers and those who move about with their flocks. A once desolate place is now teeming with life. And now here's something that I want you to see. This is a return to the normalcies of life. Look, they're not doing anything special, okay, in verse 24. It's not like there's a big carnival or anything like that. This is what's going on. People are going to live together in Judah and all of its towns. They weren't living together there before because they were exiled, but now they get to live together. And again, the second half, farmers and those who move about with their flocks, people are going to be getting back to work. People are going to be doing the normal things of life. And look at the context of this passage. 31, we are glorying in and exalting in the fact that we get to get back to a normal way of life. Now, everything's not exactly the same. Everything's not exactly normal. But here we are returning from exile. Here we are returning from quarantine. And in a measure, at least, here we can get back to normal church. Look, after exile, even being able to return to shepherding is a blessing. Oh man, what a blessing. These farmers, they can now move about with their flocks. They couldn't before, but now they are able to. There's a common phrase or saying that I think really fits in well here. You don't recognize what you had until you lose it. You don't recognize what you had until you lose it. How many times have we woken up a little bit late on a Sunday morning, rubbed the sleep out of our eyes, looked at the clock, and had that internal struggle start immediately? Oh, are we going to go to church today or not? I don't know. I could use a break. And you're sitting there wrestling with that concept, sitting there wrestling with those ideas. Yet over the last couple of months, we haven't had opportunity to make that decision. You might be showing up to church, but you're showing up to church in your sweatpants in front of your computer, right? I know because I was streaming to the church in my sweatpants in front of my computer, right? You could only see the jacket and the tie. I didn't have to wear real pants, okay? Well, that is what we've been doing up until now. We've been struggling with that, and we didn't recognize what we had until we lost it. We lost that opportunity to gather together. We lost that opportunity to meet together, and now we have it again. We're returning from quarantine. Can I just ask something of all of us? Let's not take it for granted this time around. Let's not take this opportunity to gather together amongst the people of God in a place that is dedicated to the God of the universe. Let's not take that for granted. Let's be committed, desire to show up. We should look forward to the work and worship that God has for us because we have this opportunity to gather together now. Now, again, here in verse 24, the shepherd is allowed to return to shepherding, and there's rejoicing in that. This brings up another idea that I think is relevant at this point. Oftentimes, we think of work as a burden. We think of work as a struggle, something that weighs itself down upon us. But if we think back to the garden, Adam worked even before the fall. You see, work isn't just a part of the fall. It's not just some bad thing that we have to do because there was a fall. Adam worked even before the fall. His job was to tend the garden. But his work got harder after the fall. It got more toilsome. It got more laborious after the fall. And so that is why we often think of work as a burden, not because of the work itself, but working in a fallen universe, in a fallen world, is toilsome. But you need to distinguish the differences in your mind. It's not the work itself that is the burden. It's working under the fall that's the burden. What does that mean? It means that work is something that human beings were created to do. Work is something in which we find our joy and our satisfaction. Have you ever had an experience with somebody that maybe was struggling a little bit with their meaning and purpose in life? They were wandering a bit, and then they got a job. They started to work, and they started investing a lot of time, effort, and energy into their job. And they seemed more joyful. They seemed more happy. They were working hard. They came home, you know, shirts completely sweated through from all the time they spent working hard. But they seemed more joyful, more satisfied. That is something about work that God has created us for. All the fall did was made work harder and more difficult. And so we have an opportunity, just like they did in Jeremiah 31:24. People will live together in Judah and all of its towns, farmers and those who move about with their flocks. We have the opportunity to get back to work, guys. And there's an element of that that should be exciting for us. Let's get back to work. I'm excited for us as a church to get back to work, and let's enjoy it. Let's look forward to what God has for us in terms of work. Now, there's another element that is represented here. It's not just the work. That is important. I am so looking forward to the work that we are going to be doing here. I'm so excited. I've been talking to many who are so excited, so invigorated, so ready. Coronavirus has brought a lot of difficulties. It's brought a lot of problems. Don't get me wrong. Many people's lives have been ruined by it, okay? I'm not trying to denigrate or downplay it, but God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I don't know how many of you have come to me and said, I am so eager to get back to church. And not only that, I'm going to plug in like I never did before. I can see the energy. I can see the excitement. Again, in Jeremiah 31, they're looking forward to it. And they're saying, these towns are going to be teeming with life. They were once desolate. And here we are at church. Don't get me wrong, we were doing tons of cool stuff before, but there's an electricity in the air. People are ready. People are excited to get going. And I can't wait to capitalize on that. We're going to be starting new ministries, new programs, and we're going to have to be creative. We're all going to have to band together with our minds by the power of the Holy Spirit to figure out creative ways that we can get out and serve our communities. But we're going to do it. And I'm so excited for that. We are going to get after the work and we are going to enjoy it. But it is not simply the work. There is another element, another aspect that people have so been missing out on, and that's the first half of verse 24. People will live together in Judah and all of its towns. People are going to live together. Togetherness, community, fellowship, hospitality, things that I know many of you have been missing up until this point, especially if you're an extrovert. If you're an introvert, you're probably like, all right, that was pretty nice, actually. I got to read some books, catch up on my reading list. I didn't have to interact with anyone, right? But even the introverts are tired, okay? Even the introverts are done with this thing. The extroverts have been dying, though. They are just like a kid on Christmas morning. I can't wait! And we have this opportunity now to get back into fellowship, back into community, back in togetherness. That's something that we are going to be doing. I just got a picture, an image in my head. I don't know why I go here. I'm not from the South, but in my mind, I've got mama's home cooking going on. Children are running around playing in a big field. Men are chopping wood and barbecuing and just spending time together, probably throwing the horseshoes. This is the picture and image I have in my mind. Togetherness, community, fellowship. We're coming together as a family. You see, we weren't meant to live life alone, segregated, isolated. I've spoken out before against the idea of lone wolf Christianity, where it's just me and Jesus under an apple tree with my Bible. And I might discover gravity. I don't know, right? That is not the picture or image of Christianity that God has for us. God has for us a picture and image of Christianity that is all about community, family, fellowship. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how we grow. As we rub up against each other's lives, even wearing masks, oh, I don't have it on my ear anymore. As we rub up against each other in life, even wearing masks, we grow. We're strengthened. We pray for one another. You're forced to deal with a tough issue, and discipleship begins to happen in both you and your friends' hearts. And you begin to look more like the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. You begin to more bear out his image and his picture. This is the joy of good community. This is the joy of the church, what the church is meant to be, what the church is meant to do. We are meant to grow together in fellowship. You can't grow just by yourself. Again, lone wolf Christianity, there's no place in the Bible for that. Now, don't get me wrong. I know some are struggling to find good communities. I've spoken with many online who are actually struggling to find a good home church. And I would encourage you this morning to continue to look for that good home church. Again, it kind of goes back to the idea of we don't know what we had until we lose it. But for those who are still struggling with that, I would encourage you to plug into real community with other Christians, with other believers who are seeking and desiring to be more like Jesus. To be more like Jesus. And it's between these, the return to work and that fellowship and community that we both find in verse 24, that I feel that we will find rejuvenation and refreshment in coming back to church, in returning from quarantine. But there is another aspect that I think is important, and that's found in verse 23. Not only are we returning to work, the work of ministry, not only are we getting back after it in that sense, we are also returning to worship. Look with me at verse 23. Verse 23 says this: "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. When I bring them back from captivity, the people in the land of Judah and in its towns will once again use these words, 'The Lord bless you, you prosperous city, you sacred mountain.'" Now, in order to understand what it's getting at here, we need to understand two aspects. First, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you is an important aspect. I don't know if that phrase reminded you of something, but it reminded me of something that we have said in America for a long time. God bless America, right? God bless America. The Lord bless you, says Jeremiah 31. But I feel that that phrase, God bless America, has changed and shifted over time. I feel like it used to be a bit of a prayer that we were reaching out to God and saying, God, please bless America. But nowadays, it's shifted. It's become more of a declaration, more of a statement, almost that we are demanding from God that he bless America, that we are requiring from him, God, you better bless America. It's often a phrase that's even spoken by atheists, people who don't even believe, and they're essentially saying, God bless America. It's like just lifting up America as a whole. What I'm trying to say is that America should be high and lifted up, independent of any deity that may or may not exist. You can see that phrase has radically shifted over time. And here's what I would like to say about this. We don't get to live on borrowed capital for very long. America was founded as a Christian nation. America, at one point, had a legitimate right to pray to God, God, please bless America. Because we were founded as a Christian nation, we were seeking to glorify and honor God in our relationships, in our communities, in our families, in our cities, in our churches. But America has started to steadily shift from that perspective. And for many, it seems like a rapid transition to a point where very few have any interest in honoring and glorifying God with their lives. We can only live on the borrowed capital of our ancestors who followed God for so long. If the current present people, if the current population don't honor and glorify God with their lives, we don't have much claim to God bless America. And we need to recognize that. This is a call to repentance. This is a call for America to wake up and to return to God. We need more prayer. We need more commitment to God. We don't get to just shout at the sky, God bless America. Instead, we must appeal to the one true God of the universe and say, God, we are so undeserving, we are so unworthy, but please, please continue to work in and amongst us for your glory and for the sake of your Son. That is the approach we need to take, a humble, bowed head with a God bless America. It's very, very different. And so we see here in 23 that God is going to bless Judah. He may bless America, but if so, we need to be his people. Could you imagine this? What if the only way, this is just hypothetical, okay, God knows everything, but what if the only way God could bless us is he showed up and he could only identify his people? And he looked around. Would he even know who to bless? If he came down and said, all right, I'm ready to bless my people. All right, let me see. Where are the Christians at? I don't see any. I must be in the wrong part of town. Let me go over here. I'm not seeing any over here either. I know many of us are seeking to love and glorify and honor God with our lives. But so often, we reduce Christianity, we reduce religion, we reduce church to something we just show up and participate in as a passive observer. Jesus makes clear, God makes clear in his word that it is those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Those are the ones who enter. Those are the ones who are members of my kingdom. Those who are following my Father. And so we have that requirement placed upon us. Would God even recognize us if he showed up? And that's something I want to urge us, to spur us on, to encourage us to greater and greater motivation to follow and glorify God with our lives. And so, the Lord bless you. But there is another half to verse 23. Not only does it say, the Lord bless you, it says this, you prosperous city, you sacred mountain. There's something that needs to be understood about this idea of sacred mountain. Mountains are very, very important in the ancient Near East context. If you look at many of the major events that happened throughout the Bible and the Old Testament, they happened on mountains, okay? If you look at major acts of idolatry that Israel participated in the Old Testament, they were often described as going up to the high places because that's gods up on the mountain because there they stand looking down over everything else. And it's no wonder that when God built his holy city, he built it up high on a mountain. He is essentially declaring, I hold the highest of places. I am king of all the universe. And so there is this perspective, this returning, Lord bless you, you prosperous city, you sacred mountain. We're going back up to mountain. And what do you do on mountains? You worship. You come there to worship. Ideally, you're coming there to worship the one true God of the universe. Now, about mountains, there are some similarities and there are some differences between our current context and that of the Old Testament, that of Israel. There are some similarities here and some differences. Clearly, we have a return from quarantine. Clearly, we have a return to worship, but Jesus tore the temple veil. Jesus, when he died on the cross, made it to where we no longer have to come to a physical location in order to worship God. And that's a hallelujah. That is something that is a praise to God. We no longer need to go to a temple to meet with God. And so let me clarify something here. I'm talking about return from quarantine. I'm talking about the excitement surrounding returning to church. But here's something that's important. You don't have to come to church to meet with God. Jesus opened up that way. He opened up that path. It's not as though if you will only come here, then you can finally meet with God. That was the case in the Old Testament. They had to go on these long pilgrimages in order to meet with God, in order to offer their sacrifice, in order to see God. But that's no longer the case. Jesus tore the temple veil. Seek God now. wherever you are. If you're here in the sanctuary, seek God. If you're behind the screen, seek God. Here is your chance. Here is your opportunity. Jesus made it to where you can seek God now, wherever you are. Wherever you are across the face of the earth. Now, don't get me wrong. Meeting physically is still a blessing. It's still nice. We are material beings, after all. And what I mean is not materialistic, but we have a material component to us. We are physical. Meeting with you in person is special and unique. Have you ever visited someone's house and they want to show you a photo album? They went on a cool trip, maybe to Europe or something like that. Oh, and here's the Statue of David, and they're showing you all these things in the photo album. You, as you flip through that photo album, you can get a sense of what's going on. You can get a sense of the trip and where they went. You get a feel for it. But it's a very different thing entirely to stand in those places yourself, to look around, engage with the atmosphere, to hear the people, the chattering in the background, or to hear the birds chirping, and to just embrace and feel that whole experience for yourself. You can look at a picture, and it might not look any different when you actually get there and look. The picture might be the same, but there is a difference between being there physically and just seeing the picture. So too, as physical beings, meeting together in person is special. It's something unique that we get to participate in. Now, Jesus made it to where you can meet with God wherever. That's incredible. But there's something different between flipping through a photo album and actually visiting the real thing. And that is an opportunity that we have as well. So, they are promised here in the Old Testament. Judah is promised that they get to return to work, that they get to return to worship. And we see a similar thing here in our return from quarantine. But there's one verse, the verse I had originally zeroed in on, that I think is so awesome in this passage, and that's verse 25. Here we see the refreshment received. We get to return to work, yes. We get to return to worship, yes. But there is refreshment to be received. I will refresh the weary, and I will satisfy the faint. First, let's talk about refresh the weary. What's the picture here? The picture here is being overly saturated and filled with water, that it's just so filled up. You can think of a sponge, perhaps, that is fully soaked and it's just dripping. It's oversaturated with water. That's the refreshment for the weary. That's the picture that is being imaged here. You can think of a hot desert that you're walking through. I don't know if anyone's ever been to Death Valley or any of these arid desert type places. And in these places, it's hot, it's dry, and you're, especially if you're going on a hike or a walk or something like that, you might get to the end. Perhaps you only brought one water bottle, you didn't realize you needed seven. And you get to the end of the hike and you're just parched and you can't wait to get to that cooler and just you down an entire bottle of water right there. Boom. That's the idea of this refreshment received. You're in this hot desert, you're extremely thirsty, and yet, at this point, God says, I'm going to bring refreshment. I'm going to fill you. I'm going to soak you. I'm going to oversaturate you with water. I was speaking with some of the leadership team about this quarantine that we've been going through. And this is a direct quote. I feel like I'm drying up. I feel like I'm drying up right now. That's the exact picture that this return from exile seeks to fulfill. I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. Do you feel like you're walking through this hot desert, like you're drying up? Well, here we have this opportunity. We're returning from quarantine and we are being filled up. We're being oversaturated. We are dripping and flowing with the water that God has given to us. We can drink our fill. There is abundant water to drink. Rejoice in this. Look forward to this. Again, we need to be eager for the opportunity to be filled, to be refreshed, to be satisfied. And we, again, ought not to take it for granted. Now, there's another aspect to this. Refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. Satisfy the faint. If you actually look at it in the Hebrew, it says, satisfy all the faint. Anyone who may be faint to be satisfied. It's an important distinction. It's trying to clarify and establish this fact that this is for everyone. This is for everyone. Here's a quote that I found as I was putting this together in one of the commentaries. It said this, as they go about their legitimate callings, i.e. they're getting back to work, they will know God's blessing. The language of satisfy, fill, is used in the Gospels of the blessings of the kingdom. You should immediately think back to the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, right? That should be going through your mind. Or when Jesus was talking about the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Those are the pictures that should come in mind. What Jesus is saying is these are blessings. These are the blessings of the kingdom. They will be satisfied. They will be filled. And here we have in Jeremiah 31, I will satisfy all the faint. What I have to say this morning, are you faint? Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you done? I've heard that I don't know how many times. I'm done with this, okay? Come to him if you're faint. Come to him if you're tired. Come to him if you're dissatisfied, and you will find rest for your souls. All or every faint may come to him. And here is the key that I want you to see of this whole section right here. Who refreshes and satisfies? It's not the fact that Tanner gets up here and preaches a sermon. You guys could have watched me on the computer. That is not who refreshes and satisfies. Who says it? I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. If we go back to verse 23, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. God himself is the subject of the refreshing and the satisfying. He is the one who will do this. God himself is the chief actor in this situation. Yes, we're returning from quarantine and we can get back to work, and I'm so excited for that. We can get back to worship. I'm so excited for that. But those things, if we just do those things as human beings without relying upon and recognizing God in the situation, they're just vapid and vain ceremonies that we're participating in. Instead, if we will come and recognize the work that we are doing, the worship that we are singing is to God and God alone, the one true God of the universe, that is where we find true refreshment. Tanner doesn't refresh you by sitting here and preaching a sermon. You are refreshed by seeing God more clearly. And that can happen when you come to church. That can happen when we return from quarantine. You can see God more clearly in the face of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It can delight your soul and bring you happiness and satisfaction. And you can look to him and find peace. And that is what is available to us. And this is, church is one way we can do that. Returning from quarantine, gathering together, rejoicing and seeing one another, and pushing and spurring one another on to the love of Christ. That we can help each other in this way. There's no guru in this community. There's no person in here that is built up as the number one. It is God who we're all looking to, and we're all on this journey together. And now that we are together, we can continue to press one another on, to spur one another on, and to help each other. I think this community, even before coronavirus, had done such a good job of helping each other, supporting each other. I don't know how many times a call went out, hey, I need some help, and half the church showed up to help. Praise God for that situation. That's not the case in every church, I'll tell you that much. We are blessed by God's graciousness to have a people gathered together here that truly want to follow and glorify God with their lives. We are not whitewashed tombs, as Jesus put it when talking to the Pharisees. We are not the frozen chosen who just show up and do whatever we feel like doing and then go home. We are not a bunch of consumers in here just eating up church and religion like it was an iPhone that we purchased at the store. We are not that way here. We are actually a real community who bands together and helps one another and supports one another. And now here is our chance as we return from quarantine to redouble our efforts, to double down on what we do here as a church, and to honor and glorify God in every aspect of our lives. I know you guys are excited. I've talked to many of you who are fired up and ready to go. And it's a bit messy. Church always is, okay? But if we will capture that excitement and that energy, and we will begin to implement some of these things, I think that we can see a new stage, a new revival in Christianity and spirituality here in Leadville and across the world. We're reaching people that we have never reached before. I know some of you guys have seen that. Who knows what God has been doing? But all we should do is continue to look to him, pray to him, and sense where his Spirit is moving and follow passionately. And we are given that chance and that opportunity now. I want to end the sermon with Jeremiah 31, 12 to 14. Just skip back a few verses. And I just want to read these verses. Let the energy, the excitement, let the passion that is in these verses capture your heart. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, the young of the flocks and the herds. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. Then young women will dance. They will be glad, young men and old men as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I praise you for your love, for your mercy, for all of the opportunities you have given to us. And I praise you now for this time. Please keep us safe. Please keep us diligent in all of these regards. Please help us to love our neighbors in this situation. But also, Lord God, help us to catch a vision, a sight of what could be. Help us to see your kingdom come, your will be done. And move us in that direction, Father God, that we can be eager to follow your will and your purposes, your intentions and motivations, whatever you would have us to do. I thank you for your graciousness and your mercy, and I pray you would continue to work on each of our hearts this week and in the weeks to come. We're not out of this thing yet, Lord. Please help us to continue to rely upon you and keep us safe. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.